Chop, the original Guillotine League podcast. Everything you need to know to avoid the chopping block. Chop is brought to you by GuillotineLeagues.com. Now, your hosts, Paul Charchian and Brian Johnson.
Welcome to Chop, the Guillotine League podcast for week number 11. I'm Paul Charchian, co-host is Brian Johnson.
What's up, Charch? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we finally had a weekend without a significant injury in the fantasy football
Yeah,
world.
Alexander Mattison may not constitute a significant injury.
Well, not his stats don't.
Right.
His zero rushing touchdowns, right? But
right.
Yeah, Mattison. But outside of that, we finally kind of unscathed.
Yeah, we love that because, you know, injuries are a variable that nobody can know is coming. And so we like it when the week just plays out to form. So I do love that. This is the last week to join a new Guillotine League at GuillotineLeagues.com. Whether it's a private league with you and your friends, there are 8 weeks left. No, 9 weeks left. So there would be 8-team leagues being created.
There are 8-team leagues, but really only 7 weeks.
Yeah, okay, so that's it. Eight-team leagues being created. We'll play for 7 more weeks. Last team standing at the end wins the whole thing.
Week 17. And just right. For those out there, we do not support scoring for week 18. So
no, you should not be playing in week 18.
No, you should not be. But if you're trying to create a private league, just keep in mind it's only going to be 8 teams.
Right, so you only need to find 7 people who want to stick their toe in the water on Guillotine Leagues, and they can experience this new format for the rest of the year. We encourage you to do that today, tomorrow, the next day, even up to Sunday.
Well, yeah, we got
no German game.
If you were out there looking to join a league Sunday mornings over the last month and a half, it's when we've had these European games, we can't have drafts. But those are done, thankfully. They really went out with a bang, too, given the Germans' Colts Patriots.
Yeah, that's right.
The grand finale.
Jeez.
They should have just
Why are we exporting that garbage?
I don't know. They should have left it with the who is it, the Chiefs and the Dolphins.
Yeah, that was a better game.
Yeah, last week. So get to the lobby.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. Let's dive in with a reminder of how waivers are going to work in what for us is kind of the playoffs, these final few weeks. And I just want to get this out of the way just to make sure everybody understands. If you already know, you can fast forward 45 seconds. If you're in a super chop league, this does not apply to you. But for everybody else, waivers run all season long. So you can always do waiver bidding all the way through week 17.
Bidding and first come, first serve free agency.
From the conclusion of week 14 and every week thereafter, players on teams that are chopped will not be available. So those players get locked out from after week 14. So this is done for gameplay balancing reasons. The teams that are going to get chopped at the very end of the year are unbelievable superstar rosters, and we don't just want to award the championship to the team that's got the most fab left at the very end of the year. We want there to be multiple ways to win your Guillotine League, including spending early. And if we let people just bid on the players that are getting chopped in weeks 14, 15, 16, then there's really only one way to win, and that's to save all of your money to the end and hope you're still alive. Yep. And that's anti-competitive. We want there to be lots of routes to victory, and that's why we lock down players who get chopped after 14, 15, and 16.
But unlike years past, like you said, the rosters do not lock, so you can still add
players. You can still add players.
So you're not going to get stuck with a skunk in your lineup.
Hopefully. We'll see.
Unless it's like Calvin Ridley.
That's true.
Who's not on the list, I believe, today, shockingly.
No, I think people just wised up and stopped starting Calvin Ridley.
Or even just adding him.
Yes.
Rostering him.
So for most of the year, Brian and I have recommended that you really shrink your vision of the season down to about 3 weeks for Guillotine Leagues. Any player who can't help you for 3 weeks, we consider to be basically irrelevant. But now as we're getting closer to the playoffs, I think the vision changes a little bit here, Brian. I think you're at a stage of the season where you think about two timelines. This week as timeline number one and your end game roster. You're still alive. It's here we are, mid-November. You can start thinking about the players you want that can get you to a championship now. And otherwise, everybody else in between, I don't care about. So this week, who are the free agents you can acquire on the cheap that are going to help you win? Like $1 players, $9 players, $6 players. Like Ty Chandler, who might be a one-week starter in a favorable matchup against Denver. I'm interested in that guy.
Mm-hmm.
The other pool I'm interested in are the people I want for my end game. Top 5 quarterbacks, top 5 tight ends, top 10 wide receivers, top 10 running backs. Acquiring guys that are going to help me in the fantasy playoffs all the way down the stretch for the rest of the year, I'm willing to pay for those guys. Everybody between those, to me, Brian, are irrelevant. Jacoby Myers, Amari Cooper, Ramondre Stevenson, Gus Edwards, Jerome Ford, George Pickens, Geno Smith, yep. Cole Kmet. Just guys that are that in-between guys, not interested. I'm not spending money on those guys unless they're basically free.
No.
Unless they're also $1 players.
And even if they only go for $1, $2 right now, that dollar, okay, $2 goes a long way.
It does.
It's like $2,000 in some instances if you have just a few bucks. You know,
at the end. Really think really strategically about basically spending anything over a couple of dollars on anybody that isn't part of your end game roster. All right. Based on that.
I like how you put that. It's basically anyone over $50. If you don't envision starting them.
The rest of the way. Week 15.
Week 15, 16.
Yes.
Yeah, they're pretty much useless.
And for you to be relevant, and for those of you that haven't survived long enough or been through the guillotine playoffs, to be relevant in weeks 14, 15, 16, 17, you have to be a top 10 wide receiver, top 10 running back, top 5 quarterback, or top 5 tight end. Mm-hmm. Or else you're not good enough to power those teams through the playoffs. So those guys don't matter. So in the past and all the previous shows, we've talked about four tiers of guys. Brian, I want to shrink that down to two tiers. I only care about the low-end guys, the under $10 guys, mm-hmm. and I only care about my end game winning rosters.
Makes sense.
So for my low-end guys, it's all players at $9 or less, single-digit guys. I'm going to throw a few names out right now, but we'll circle back as we always do at mm-hmm. the end of the show. Ty Chandler, Devin Singletary, Noah Brown, Tyler Conklin, Sam Howell, Keaton Mitchell, Rico Dowdle, Zach Charbonnet, Demario Douglas, Elijah Moore, Brandon Cooks, all guys I'm interested in at the single dollar level. And then there's the end game tier guys. And we've always had these. Most, we started out saying maybe, 250 high-end range. It's going down because everybody's got less money. Mm-hmm. Now you can get elite-level players at more like the 150 range because nobody's got money left. Well, not nobody. Hopefully you do. Few teams do. So the high-end end-game tier guys are, to me, in the $150 to $200 range, and that number keeps going down.
In agreement.
Let's jump into our top 10 most chop players.
Let's jump right on in.
Number 10, Carolina wide receiver Adam Thielen. He had been super consistent up until last week. Favorable matchup, or seemingly so, against the Bears. The Bears do have that one really good cornerback, Jalen Johnson. When they deploy him on a team's number one receiver, we do see some dud games like Thielen's. The upcoming schedule, Dallas, which is not as tough as it used to be, at Tennessee and then at Tampa. We'll call it like three roughly neutral matchups. The median winning bid last week for Adam Thielen was $71.
I never go higher than the median from last week.
Yeah.
And I never would have expected a Panther to be part of my end game plans.
Yeah.
But Adam Thielen qualifies mm-hmm. To me. And like you said, quote-unquote bad game last week, he still had double-digit PPR points.
Right, not bad. Right?
6 catches, 42 yards. That was his worst game of the season. He still saw 10 targets mm-hmm. in that game against the Bears. The rest of the Carolina's wideouts combined for 12, so Thielen is still a guy. Schedule not too daunting over the next few weeks, as you alluded to, and the bye in the rear view for the Panthers. They're going to be giving up points, throwing.
Yeah.
Thielen's not
game
going anywhere.
Game script always tilts towards Adam Thielen.
Yeah, I mean, he is clearly Bryce Young's whoopee. Bryce Young needs a lot more whoopees, but he's only got one right now, and mm-hmm. it's Adam Thielen. So I got 90 on Adam
Thielen.
Wow,
all right. I had 55 on Thielen.
He's just money in the bank, PPR-wise.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't give you the explosive upside of, CeeDee Lamb or A.J. Brown, but you know what he's going to do is he's not going to get you cut the rest of the year potentially. And while we do need to orient towards more upside players as all the rosters are getting better, Thielen's still just rock solid.
He's scratched those monster games, though, this year. Mm. He's had a couple big ones.
He has.
130, 40 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
I think he had two touchdown game in one.
Did he? I don't think so. Maybe you're right.
I don't know. But before the bye, in like this sort of dry spell, if you want to put it that way, over his last couple of games, he's a top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah.
The reason he can't get back there.
And his bye is past him.
Mm-hmm.
The number 9 most shot player last week, Player we've talked about several times before, Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson. Here we are again. And the funny thing is, it's not always related to how well the Ravens play, how good that offense is. It just sometimes the offense doesn't pour through Lamar Jackson. Upcoming schedule, Cincinnati, then the Chargers, which is very favorable, and then a bye. That's tricky for that. That's that looming Week 13 bipocalypse too. The median winning bid last week on Lamar Jackson was $49. What are you putting in here?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, interesting season for him. He does lead all quarterbacks in rushing yards. But I believe he has 9 touchdown passes. Not a lot.
That is in 9 games.
In 9 games. He's scored multiple touchdowns just once over his last 5 games. That's passing and throwing.
9 times.
That's not good. But, you know, we expected more out of this pass game for the Ravens, but we were talking about this stat that we both saw on Sunday yesterday where the Ravens have trailed for a collective 28 minutes all season, and the next two teams were the Chiefs and the Eagles, and they were at like 80.
Yeah, 80 or 90.
Something minutes. So you're not throwing a lot when you're not trailing
for
the majority of the season. And the Ravens have played one more game than the Chiefs and the Eagles, which makes that even more astounding. But anyway, again, we love our mobile quarterbacks. He's the most mobile of them all, but
he's got some weird downside to him, though.
He does have very weird
downside. I love the mobility, Brian, because I don't get the dud game unless you both don't run and don't pass. But we've had some of that from Lamar Jackson.
The
passing has been so meager that his 40 rushing yards hasn't mattered enough.
Yeah, there's been some weird games though where just brutal drops that weren't his fault. I don't know. He's still a guy
I wouldn't mind having
on my roster. He might not be a lock to start every week, but if you're going to have two quarterbacks on roster for the rest of the season, Lamar Jackson's probably one of them you'd want to have. So I'm going to go, and again, there's only like 2 or 3, maybe 4 quarterbacks that I think we would agree we're going to spend more than $10 on.
Yeah.
And Jackson's one, and so I got $50 on Lamar. Just because the passing is just not
I got
been there.
15.
Wow. Yeah.
Just because I don't feel like I can predict the bad games. There are a lot of times I'm like, man, there's points coming, and then the Ravens go out and score 36, and Lamar had a bad game. I think it's really hard to know when it's coming, and I'm so skittish on Lamar Jackson. You may remember last year, I sabotage dropped him at this stage of the season. Covertly didn't say anything. You know, I just dropped him on a Tuesday. And good friend Nando DeFino picked him up, and then Lamar got him chopped like 3 weeks later.
I do recall that.
He's a tricky dude, and at $15, I'll take Lamar as my backup. Maybe I start him in just key spots where I feel hyper confident in him, but I don't know.
I might have gone a little high. I kind of forgot to factor in the bye in week 13. I know you did mention that. So, I'm going to come down. I'll come down to, say, 35.
The 8th most chopped player is fascinating. Dallas running back Tony Pollard.
Well, you're talking about teams that are going off.
Yeah, and the player's not getting anything, right?
So you look at the score, and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Tony Pollard must have had a day.
Points are just evading him. It's amazing. So Pollard's now gone an NFL high, 151 consecutive touches without a touchdown. Think about how hard it is to do that. And there's a guy scoring at distance all the time last year. Now, here's where it gets so fascinating on Pollard, because the instinct that all our listeners are going to have is just, I don't want him. But listen to this. At Carolina, Washington, and Seattle coming up, all of them bottom 7 against running backs and fantasy points allowed. The median winning bid last week on Tony Pollard was $100.
If it doesn't happen at Carolina, it's never happening. But positive regression has to be coming, right?
Yes.
You just mentioned the 150-plus touches without a touchdown. He did get stopped at the 1-yard line twice on Sunday on separate drives. Enrico Dowdle looked good. He led the team with 79 rushing yards, and he scored. So he's going to factor in this Panthers game where, I don't know, the Panthers are going to get crushed in this one, but you got to hope that Pollard is going to get you close to 100 combo yards and at least one touchdown. And the schedule does soften up, like you mentioned, the first
immensely.
3 weeks. Immensely. Mm-hmm. Especially these first 3 weeks. Things have to change. So I'm still a believer in Tony Pollard, but I was a little higher than that I'm going to submit my bid now. I was higher, but now I'm at like 120. That might still be a little too high.
Wow,
but.
Okay. So you're over median. Yeah. I'm at $30. And I'm still optimistic of the positive regression, but I can't drop that much money. You know, the $120 or whatever would be so valuable. That's going to net me Austin Eckler in week 12. So I can't do it.
He just seems like a guy, like I said, that can almost carry your team, but he hasn't been doing anything. But the next 3 weeks, he should be an RB1, a top 10 running back, but we'll see. So I'm going to pay for that, and that might kill me, might not. We'll find out.
The number 7 most chopped player, bye week, Philadelphia wide receiver A.J. Brown. You know, this has been probably the highest, depending on your format and your situation, the highest scoring fantasy wide receiver, along with Tyreek Hill and CeeDee Lamb, who's surged lately.
CeeDee Lamb is
The upcoming schedule at Kansas City is pretty tough. Buffalo kind of reeling right now with injuries in their secondary. And then San Francisco, the median winning bid last week for A.J. Brown was a whopping $239, which at this stage of the season is a lot. He's super valuable. So really we're testing your upward limits of how much you're willing to spend at this point on a player who is absolutely part of your end game roster strategy for A.J. Brown.
Yeah, he's matchup proof to me at this point.
For sure.
The bye week, as you said, in week 10. Week 9, somewhat quiet game, just 7 catches for 66 yards and a touchdown. But it's going to take me too long to go back 5 games prior to that.
To find a bad game or something?
And it's because it's going to take me too long to read these high numbers because it's like he was on fire, insane. So I'm coming in over the median again. I got 300 on A.J. Brown.
Wow, okay.
There's 4 wide receivers right now that are the best wide receivers, and like you can make the case, and he's one of them for sure.
He is. I had less than you. I just don't. My high end is just not the same as your high end. Mine here is 150. I'm not ready to spend like $300 if I've got $300 because I think that's going to bankrupt me. Most listeners at that point, so I'm not yet ready, knowing we still have, 6 weeks to go.
Well, can you tell that I'm coming off a couple of weeks where I've just, like, saved my money all season?
It was fine.
I waited 1 week too long in a lot of leagues, and it got burned. So now I'm like, all right, I should have been a little more aggressive. So that's where this energy is coming from.
Look, if you can afford it, go get A.J. Brown. If you can afford the 300 because you're sitting at 600, yes, go get A.J. Brown.
Yeah, easily, no matter what fab you have left, at least 50%. I would go 50 to 60% of my remaining fab on A.J. Brown.
See, again, I think it all depends. I'm not spending half of my fab at this stage unless A.J. Brown is like the last guy I need or next to nearly the last guy to lead to have my endgame roster. The 6th most chopped player, Baltimore tight end Mark Andrews. The upcoming schedule, Cincinnati, and it wasn't a terrible game. I mean, he had like 3 catches for 40 yards or something. Upcoming schedule, Cincinnati. Then he's at Chargers. That's very positive. And then, as we mentioned, Lamar Jackson's bye, obviously the same as his. The median winning bid last week was $109. What do you think about Mark Andrews?
Yeah, just I think it was two catches for 42 yards, which is not awful. But considering, I'm pretty sure
he had been so solid prior to that.
Yeah, he has had good games against the Browns in his career, but the Browns, their defense is out of this world.
Right, exactly.
So we're going to echo a lot of the same concerns we had for Lamar Jackson. We got the bye week coming up for Andrews and the Ravens in week 13. The pass game stalls out at times. But
it does, but he's been getting paid virtually every game.
I say Likely's usage has increased a little bit, but he has really been a non-factor all year. And he probably won't be unless something happens to Andrews. Hopefully that does not happen. But regardless of matchup, yada, yada, yada. Andrews easily a top 3 tight end option moving forward. Kelsey, number 1. You can make an argument for Hockenson Andrews. Trey McBride, maybe?
Yeah, I know. He's heading that way.
So there's some interesting stats about Trey McBride. I'm sure we'll get into them on Fantasy Football Weekly this week. But I got $110 on Mark Andrews. He's a top option to tight end. And
You and I are right in the same ballpark. I had $100.
Okay.
The 5th most chopped player last week, Tennessee wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. The upcoming schedule, at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's whole defense fading badly right now. Then Carolina, that's favorable. Then Indy, that's favorable. But you've got all the ups and downs that come with Will Levis. Median winning bid last week, $45 for DeAndre Hopkins. What do you think?
I will say Levis should have had a slightly better game. Chig Okonkwo.
Yeah, dropped that touchdown. That, yes.
And then DeAndre Hopkins saved it from being an interception. Yeah. He turned into the defensive back. He should have gotten a point for a pass defended there. But Hopkins, the first guy on the list right now that I definitely don't see as part of my end game plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not a guy that you're going to be starting in weeks 15, 16, 17. He exploded against Indy in week 8, and we're like, okay. But just 7 catches for 87 scoreless yards over his last 2 games for Hopkins. He has had target totals of 11 and 8. He's the number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Will Levis, unproven rookie. Does it matter if Treylon Burks comes back?
No, it does not matter.
It's just Hopkins is not no longer that guy that he's not going to be starting in the guillotine finals.
No, and, so that puts him into the single digit dollars for me.
And I'll be happy to get him for, I'll go a little higher than 10. I'll say 15 on Hopkins because he's still a great player. But yeah, I'm not going any higher than that.
Yeah, I had $5. I could go up to 9. The fourth most chop player.
The no buy, it's kind of, that helps Hopkins.
It does. Well, in these next 3 weeks, I mean, he is startable the next 3 weeks.
For sure.
Absolutely flex startable here.
You're not paying name brand value there, though.
The fourth most chop player, Giants running back Saquon Barkley. The upcoming schedule is interesting. At Washington is very favorable. Then New England. In New England, they're still a good run defense. And then he goes on bye. And obviously, the Giants offense is completely broken with Tommy DeVito at the helm. They basically can't pass. I don't have the median winning bid last week. I accidentally failed to look him up. I would guess that it was in the like $120 range. If you want to hit the CHOP data page for me, will you look up Saquon Barkley for a second while I blather on for just a minute about Barkley? Obviously, he's getting tons of workload, but defenses know that that offense goes through Barkley. If you shut down Saquon Barkley, then there's basically nothing left to get out of this Giants offense, and defenses are playing to stop him, which they should. Still, with all the volume, Barkley had previously been at least putting up good enough numbers that he remained startable, but not at the level anybody expected.
$38 last week.
That was it? Oh, geez.
And that was probably the right amount.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, just because for all the reasons you said, you know, that offense is broken.
Completely broken.
Is lost for the Giants. Thankfully, there's probably like not no incentive to like sort of shut him down. Because he's not guaranteed to be on the team.
No, he's probably not going to be. They can keep running him.
And I think the Giants need to realize that they're not going to do anything with Saquon Barkley next year. Like, they're rebuilding again. Even if they made the playoff. Like,
probably, yes.
That's how I feel. But, yeah, so, but again, the bye week 13, somewhat decent matchup. So he's purely a volume play. You can't trust him as an RB1. He's a fringe RB2 running behind that offensive line. In that broken offense.
And Andrew Thomas hurt again.
Yep.
Oh.
That is one of the major talking points here. So I'll come in higher.
I can't believe that it was only $38 last week. Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
And going into Dallas and...
All right. So here I thought I had an extremely low number on
it. Someone won him for a buck.
Oh, jeez.
Fine. Someone spent $479 on him, too. But
$479 last week. Wow. The CHOP data page is so much fun.
Yeah.
But, all right, so what are you putting on Barkley?
I'll go 50. 50 on Barkley.
All right, I had 40 on Barkley, and I thought I was like ultra lowballing.
Yeah.
It turned out I was over last
week.
And you're
really only using him for these next couple weeks as a flex option.
Yeah.
Really,
Barkley's not part of your end game strategy.
No, definitely not.
The third most chop player, Jacksonville running back Travis Etienne. The Jaguars just got ambushed last week, and it never came together, and the running game got backburnered fast last week. The upcoming schedule is pretty interesting. Tennessee, then at Houston, that's turned into a shockingly good run defense.
Yeah.
And then Cincinnati, these are all mid-tier to above-average run defenses. The median winning bid last week for Travis Etienne, $250. He had been a top 5 fantasy running back. What do you think now?
Yeah, I mean, last week, awful game for him and everyone on Jacksonville. Week 9 bye. So right now, people are kind of down on the Jaguars. But as you were just mentioning before that, I would say he was RB2 from weeks 5 through 8. That 4-game stretch, he scored 2 touchdowns twice. No, 3 games in a row, he had 2 rushing touchdowns. And then in the 4th game, 150 combo yards and a receiving touchdown. That 4-game stretch, he was RB2 behind McCaffrey then. And I think... he can get back to that. I know everyone's really down on the Jaguars. Not the best schedule coming up, but he's still going to get that bell cow usage. So I'm at 205 on ETN.
Yeah, I had 150 written down. You've talked me into bumping it up. I would probably go up to 175. But I just think you and I have just got different ceilings right now on great players. But ETN, definitely part of your in-game strategy. And if you can afford him, go get him.
I was doing some Survivor pool research today and looking at week 17. And I do know that the Jaguars have the Panthers at home in week 17.
All right.
So
championship
he will
week.
Be
yes.
starting for everyone in week 17.
All right.
If healthy, hopefully.
If you get that far.
Yeah. If not headless, I should say.
Yes. The number two most chopped player, to the consternation of many, and I think we've lost a lot of listeners over this one, and maybe gained some listeners too, Buffalo wide receiver Stephon Diggs. So many people on my Twitter timeline were like, look, I just need 13 points from Stephon Diggs. Nope. Wow. It was a shockingly bad performance by the Buffalo offense, and they barely used Diggs in this game. And then complicating matters is this. He gets Sauce Gardner next week, and then at Philadelphia, and then bye week.
Brutal.
There's a good chance Diggs pops up on your radar in at least once in the next 3 weeks. I don't think you have to go heavy here, but I will note this. They faced the Jets in week one. Stephon Diggs put up 10 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. So he was able to beat DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner, the elite cornerbacks the Jets have got in week one. But I don't know that I like this Bills offense more now than I did then.
No.
Not the way it's going.
They've fired their offensive coordinator because apparently it was Ken Dorsey's fault that there are 12 men on the field.
I know, right?
For the Bills or for Gabe Davis dropping a touchdown that was right in his hands. All Ken Dorsey.
And Gabe Davis turning a catch into an interception last night, too.
James Cook can't hold on to the ball. This is all Ken Dorsey's fault, so good thing they fired him. But anyway, back to Diggs.
Median winning bid last week on Diggs was $229. He will not cost you that much now.
No, he should not. And going into the Monday night game, people should have been concerned because Patrick Surtain was there waiting for him. You had to expect he was going to be covering Diggs a lot, and then that's what ended up happening. As you said, the more tough cornerback matchups on the horizon and then the bye, so I'm coming in under the median. He's a guy that if you have him on roster and you survive past the bye week,
he will be part. For 3 weeks, though, that's a big ask.
So I do think we will hear his name again, so I'm going to put a somewhat of a healthy bid on him. Probably not enough to win him. Win Diggs, but that's okay. But he could slip through the cracks. Just 110 for me on Diggs.
$100. The most chopped player last week, and a guy that imperiled two of my leagues big time, Tennessee running back Derrick Henry. The upcoming schedule is all bottom 10 run defenses over the last 5 weeks. Jacksonville, Carolina, Indianapolis. The median winning bid last week was $165. I think he gets it going again. Derrick Henry. This is Derrick Henry season we're heading into.
Yeah, if this was last year or the year before going into this Jaguars game, I had to say go all in on him.
Yeah, right.
Because he habitually would put up 200 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Jaguars. So that would help. But, times have changed. Tyjae Spears certainly in the mix, but it's still like a 70-30 split, especially when it comes to touches. The snap counts are pretty much equal, but Henry's still getting more touches. He did wet the bed big time against the Bucs. That was unfortunate. Before that, 75 yards and a touchdown, 101 yards rushing, 97 and a touchdown, 122 and a touchdown. He's been catching way more passes, too. Only one last week, but games before that, 4-3, 4-3.
Yeah, shocking turn on
so
that.
So I'm not giving up on the King just yet. Bye in the rear view. He's got good matchups, like you said. So I'm at 150 on Derrick Henry.
$90. And that probably wouldn't be enough. But, and you know, now you've kind of talked me into it. I would bump that up to more like 125. Yeah, for Derrick Henry. All right, now I want to talk about some standard waiver wire guys that are available in most of your regular leagues. These are cheap guys, typically, that shouldn't cost you. They should be single-digit guys. Now, the question I always pose to you at the end, Brian, is would you bid a couple of bucks and cut a player for any of these guys? Now, you have to cut the player, and again, that's increasingly difficult to do because, man, you're looking now, when you look at that player pool of available players, you're like, I'd have killed for that guy 3 weeks ago, and now they're just sitting as free agents. So your rosters are so much better now than they used to be. But let's start here. Ty Chandler. The Vikings signed Miles Gaskin, I think, Monday, suggesting that Alexander Mattison is expected to miss this coming game with a concussion. Ty Chandler, at least the starter for one game. But if Chandler looks good, because Mattison hasn't, this could be an opportunity for Ty Chandler to move to the top of the depth chart.
Well, I know you feel this way, and you have pretty much all season, and I've pretty much been there with you, but not as vocal, but Chandler should be starting over Mattison at this
anyway,
point, regardless of the concussion.
Well, I know we think that, but apparently the coaching staff doesn't.
But good shot. He gets the start against the Broncos, which is a pretty good matchup. It's a better matchup for the running backs, the running game, than the passing game for the Vikings.
Sure.
So, yeah, definitely go after Chandler, see if he has a nice game and holds on to that starting job, which he shouldn't have tough time of doing.
On Fantasy Football Weekly on Friday's show, we talked about, just watch, Devin Singletary crapped the bed 2 weeks ago, and then everybody drops him, and nobody has the confidence of starting him, and then watch him go off next week in a tougher, on paper, a tougher matchup, and of course he did.
Mm-hmm.
And now, unclear whether or not Damian Pierce is going to come back or not this coming week, but the way Singletary played, they have the luxury of waiting on Pierce. Do you want to roster Singletary here or not?
Yeah, I would for 1 week just to see if Pierce sits out. Right now, you got Singletary's got the hotter hand. That's for sure. But it's probably going to be a 50-50 split. It was more like a 70-30, 60-40 favoring Pierce before he got hurt. But now that Pierce will be coming back from injury, and Singletary played well last week, Singletary might take that.
Yeah, he might 60. Be the 60,
so,
right?
Long story short, yeah, he's worth a buck or two right now.
Noah Brown, we talked about last week, and I think there's some people like, why are we talking about Noah Brown? Well, this is why, because he 150 yards last week. So Noah Brown, a big part of that offense, maybe phasing out Robert Woods regardless of health, because they're getting so much better productivity out of Noah Brown. And if Nico Collins is going to keep missing time too, you know, that makes Noah Brown a heavily targeted player in a pass-first offense.
Well, just to cover ourselves a little bit, Nico Collins had not been ruled out when we were saying pass on Noah Brown. That certainly helped clear the way for a ton of volume for Brown. So I guess for a dollar or two, why not? But I do want to see how the target distribution shakes out when Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Noah Brown, Dalton Schultz, Damian Pierce even is on they're all on the field at the same time.
All the Texans are getting fed right now.
And
it's
Robert
funny.
Woods.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud going to win
MVP.
And obviously,
rookie of the year is over.
That's a lock.
Yes.
And, man, D'Amico Ryans, coach of the year?
For sure.
Someone's got to.
For sure. D'Amico Ryans is one. Kevin O'Connell's two. Dan Campbell's three.
That is the play moving forward. I'm going to start parlaying stud rookie quarterbacks with their, first year head coach for maybe not MVP, but rookie of the year. You could. Yeah, Texans. Quite the story.
Tyler Conklin quietly emerging as basically the only other viable receiving target other than Garrett Wilson on the Jets. In a tight end's always tricky, so maybe you could consider him. Is he worth $2?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting the 6-7 targets per game at least. I'm just curious, right? I'm going to check really quick. I'm just in terms of catches among tight ends. Let's see where he stands. I bet he's in the top 12.
I don't on the season. I don't think he is because he was pretty quiet for the first half of the year.
He has not scored lately, for sure. Definitely.
Is he worth $2 or $3? Well, $1 in Conklin's case
I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 7 catches last week, 6 the week before. He's been coming on, so let's see if that keeps up.
I had Sam Howell on this list, but he's too good. I'm taking him off the
list. Well, I'm going to hit the peacock. I'm going to clap because as of right now, that's the call of the year.
Thank you.
Top 10. I know he's played an extra game, but still, it doesn't matter. Sam Howell's been the money.
He's been money, man. He leads the NFL in passing yards. Come on.
I mean, I know he's getting sacked a ton. That's not all his fault. He's made some bad, but we don't care about that in fantasy football.
We don't. As long as he doesn't get hurt, we don't mind.
It helps that the Washington defense is way worse, than anyone expected.
So bad.
You got to love those bad defenses.
They're throwing 40 times per game with Sam Howell. Jeez.
That almost sounds like I would have went 45 if you gave me a chance to guess. That sounds light, but still a lot. That's a heavy
lot.
Volume.
It's the most in the NFL. Rico Dowdle, $2 for sure, I think, given how easy that Dallas schedule is, as we discussed earlier. If Tony Pollard doesn't capitalize, somebody's going to, and it's going to be Rico Dowdle.
Yeah, I saw just some shades of Marion Barber. Rico Dowdle.
You think he's that big? Barber was so big.
He looked and a little elusive. Stocky. I met Marion Barber in the airport once. It's pretty cool.
Did you? Okay.
We went to the University of Minnesota at the same time. Not like
he still talks about you.
Yeah. So he's like, hey, Brian, no, but I can go more into that story. It was right after it was going into his like blow up year for the Cowboys that no one saw coming, where he was the clear backup to
who would have been then?
Not Julio Jones. Felix Jones. I don't know.
Felix Jones. Oh, yeah.
I got
that
Julio,
guy.
Jones.
Yeah.
He was the starter, but Jones or Barber was the man. But anyway, Dowdle, definitely worth, especially going to this Panthers team.
Yeah, he's startable.
He's startable. Hey, he's flex worthy.
Yeah,
for sure.
He is. Zach Charbonnet, $2 in a roster spot.
Yeah. He didn't like continue to take over for Kenneth Walker last week, but he's right there.
I know. We're kind of in a timeshare now, which is never great for fantasy.
And if something were to happen to Walker, we're looking at a big-time bill cow.
DeMario Douglas, $2.
Yeah, why not?
Leading receivers. They're on bye, so you don't have to do it this week. So I'm no on Douglas because of the bye.
Yeah, FCFS him if you got a spot. Add him for free.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's the number one wide receiver.
I think Malik Cunningham might be the quarterback coming out of the bye week. Whew. Man, are things bad. Elijah Moore, sparking to life. We had talked about when they traded Donovan Peoples-Jones. We're like, hey, this might be the opportunity Elijah Moore needs, and he's getting more.
Yeah, the Browns about to just bury Deshaun Watson at the start of last week, but that offense showed some signs of life against a very tough Ravens defense in a comeback win. So, yeah, Elijah Moore, clear-cut wide receiver too.
Pittsburgh coming up this week for them. Brandon Cooks. Finally, after being dead silent for 6 weeks, game last week.
Yeah, it's CeeDee Lamb commands a ton of attention, but Lamb is probably the hottest wide receiver in the NFL right now. But the Cowboys pass attack is on point right now, and Cooks is the I would rather have Cooks over Gallup at this point right now. Mm-hmm. So worth a buck or two.
All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. Best of luck in week 11 with your Guillotine League. Congratulations on staying alive this long. I know it's harrowing week in and week out, but the pressure only mounts every week. I saw a team that got chopped with 117 points last week.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. That is a ton. When you're the low-scoring team at 117, man, things have changed. You know, at the beginning of the year, teams are getting chopped with 60. Now they're getting chopped with double that many points. So, it's such a fun ride, and so much changes over the course of the season. Thanks for listening, everybody. Best of luck for this week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.